kind of the inspiration behind our message today. So the fellow's name is Nick Wojcik, and he was born in Australia. And he was born with no arms and no legs. But despite that, he's now an evangelist and he's a missionary. And he speaks to millions of people all over the world, going around like he has no problems. And I ran across a video of him speaking to a group of kids about his life and about his faith. It was about a year ago. And then I kind of watched it and it kind of grabbed my attention. And then I do like we do with so many things. I stored it away in the back of my memory. And I kind of left it there for a while. But then lately in my life, I've been thinking about wanting more. And as I've been talking to some of you here in our congregation and to other people that I come in contact with, I find that that's not just something that I long for, but something that most of you long for as well. Most of the times we come to church because we're looking for more. We want more than what we have. Some people here have told me that over the last few weeks, and so I figured that this would be a good thing for us to talk about. So I've been thinking, what is that more that I'm looking for? For Nick, he was singing about needing more, wanting more, and knowing that there's more out there. And what is that more that you're looking for this morning? For me, I'd like to have a little bit more peace. For me, I'd like to have more faith. For me, I'd like to be a better father. I'd like to be a better husband. I'd like to be a better pastor. And I'd like to be a better Christian. How about you? What's your more? What does your more look like? If you could take a second to just put it in perspective, what is more? To me, these things would be my more, but you have your own. And these things weren't always the things that I thought were more. Things have changed in my life, and things have gone away that I thought were more, I found out were less. I used to look at things like the way the world does, and not the way that God does. I just wanted more worldly things. I wanted more house, and I wanted more money, and I wanted more fame, and I wanted more of what the world had to offer. And then God makes that change in your life, and your more start to change. Nick in this video is showing us the story about him wanting the more that really doesn't matter at the beginning. Because when he was young, he said that he wanted more. He wanted to be more like other people. He wanted to have more legs, to have more arms, and to be more like the world wanted him to be. But that searching for all the more that other people thought he should have and the things that he thought he had only led him to one place, and that was to a dead end. And at the age of 10, he tried to commit suicide. And the turning point in his life is when he changed his heart. And he started looking at his mores. And then his mores became to be other things. And now his more is to be able to share Christ's message of salvation to more people and to other people. His more is to bring other people hope when there seems like there's no hope. And because he changed his definition of more, God has been able to use him in incredible ways, as even the video showed. Fellow born with no arms and no legs. And yes, he's the hands and feet of Jesus. Think about that. Where's your more this morning? What is it that you want more of? By being here, by getting up this morning, by making the commitment to come to church, I believe that you want more. Is there anybody in here that doesn't want more? Raise your hand if you do want more. Who wants more? And we should always want more. We should want more of that feeling. And what is that that you're looking for today? Do you want more? And if you do, what does that more look like? Does your more look like the things that the world would look for, like we've talked about already here this morning? Or does your more look like things that Jesus would want you to have? And if your more is something that lines up with what Jesus has planned for you, then there's nothing that you can't do for the kingdom of God. Isn't it ironic that this man, once again, has no arms and legs, but is God's hands and feet? His more changed. What he wanted changed. Our verses today are to be found in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. And here we come back to where we were last Sunday as Jesus is teaching through the Sermon on the Mount. And here he's continuing after the Beatitudes to teach, and he starts to cover different subjects in his teachings. And I'm going to start reading here in verse 19. I want you to catch up with me in 25 through 34 on the screen. And if you'll just listen to the beginning so that we kind of set the stage for the verses that I'll be covering here, which are 25 through 34. when I was thinking about this more, I was drawn to this passage of Scripture. So let us read. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, and your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And then we pick up. For this reason, the reason that I just told you, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body than clothing? Look at the birds in the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single cubit to the lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. In 1975, there was a movie that you might have seen. It was called The Wilderness Family. Anybody remember that movie? It was a rated G movie. They don't hardly make those anymore. But there was a rated G movie. It was called The Wilderness Family. It was a family that lived in a city. And they had a daughter that was sick. And they kind of got tired of the rat race of life. And they were looking for a better life. And they wanted something more. And so they decided to leave their jobs and their houses and the things that they have. And they moved out in the wilderness. And they moved there for the purpose of one thing, and that was to find something more. Many evangelists and missionaries that I talked to, so it just started off, they were normal people. Somebody that God just kind of called and put their feet in motion, and they set out to find that more in life that they were being called for. And then they found out that more in life that they were being called for was to serve the Lord. And they set out not expecting that result, but that's what came. To find out that their more was to follow the Lord. That's what our new Sunday school class is about. And for those that attended this morning as we started off, it's not too late to come next Sunday and join in and bring a friend as well. But our new Sunday school lesson is about discovering our spiritual gifts. And why do we want to discover our spiritual gifts? Why do we want to have that experience? Because we want to find out the more that Jesus has planned for us. What is the more? What is it going to take to get to that next step and to have that abundant life that Jesus promises us? Verse 25 says, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Is life not more than worry and hurry and anxiety and problems? Is life supposed to be more than just a rat race that we start every morning and we end every night? Of course it is. Of course it is. God has so much more available and ready for you. And it's greater than all the stresses that we have in life. Greater than all the problems that we face. Jesus is saying here, don't worry. Especially about what you will eat or drink or what you will wear. And as Christians, we believe that God will not always give us what we want, but He will give us what we need. Can I get an amen on that? He won't always give us what we want, but He's going to give us what we need. And I'm sure that you've experienced that in your life already. I know many of us have gone through are going through right now a financial situation, maybe with a business or with your house or with your family, with the economy the way it is. And we turn on the news and we see all nothing but doom and gloom and bad. We read the papers and it's the same. And not knowing how we're going to make ends meet when all of a sudden your outgo is greater than what you have coming in. And I'm telling you that somehow each month in my life and in our life and mine and Donna's and our family, God has found a way for our family to pay bills with money we never had. He's found a way to make it work when it doesn't seem like it's going to work. We've had to cut away tons of expenses and things that we thought we wanted to keep. But you know, at times when we've done that, it's given us a heart of surrender. It's given us a heart of being closer to the Lord. And the things that we got rid of were not the things that God was concerned about anyway. God was concerned about our more. God was concerned about giving us more when we thought we were going to have less. Verse 26 says, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And I love how God takes the things that we ought to know already and He tells us about them anyways. You know, things that we already say, oh, we know that. We know how God, you know, He cares about us and loves us and all that. And Jesus says, no, I need to tell you about this again. I need to remind you. He says, be carefree like the birds and worry for nothing. They don't have anything, and yet the Lord feeds them. And He'll take care of them. And if He'll take care of a bird, how much more do you think that He'll take care of you? I know in my house, my girls, they always sit down and they want to talk about something. And they start off and they just want to share something that happened throughout the day. And either myself or my wife will go into a lesson. And then they always say, well, here's another life lesson from Dad. And here's another life lesson from Mom and grandparents or whoever it might be. And we do that because they're telling us something and we know it's something that they should already know or something they've already gone through or something that they're sharing with us. But we want them to have more. And Jesus is the same with us as our Father. When we talk to Him and we pray to Him and we come to Him and we have situations and we sit down, He gives us that new life lesson. He gives us that same thing that some of the teenagers in here roll their eyes and go, oh my goodness. And sometimes we do that. But instead of rolling our eyes, we need to listen to what the Lord has to say to us because He's telling us things because He wants us to have more. Verse 27. And who of you, by being worried, can add even a single hour to your life? God is saying, why are you worrying about stuff? You don't have the power to change it. It's like God saying to us, so who do you think you are? Who do you think you are trying to control your own life when your life is in my control? Think about that. God saying, I got this. I got it. We're worried to death and God is saying, I got it. I've already paid for it. And when we worry, it just shows the lack of faith that we have. Faith to know that God is in control. Faith to let God handle all things. Faith to let go and let God. It's one of my favorite sayings in the whole world. Just let go and let God. Another favorite saying I have is that 99% of the things we worry about never happen. Anybody else can relate to that? 99% of the things that we worry about never happen. And when I was growing up in the 80s, there was a fellow, Bobby McFerrin. Y'all remember Bobby McFerrin? What did he sing? Don't worry, be happy. And the lyric of that song says, in this life, if you find some trouble, if you worry, it'll make it what? Double. If you find some trouble, if it causes you to worry, it'll make it double. So don't worry. Be happy. And Jesus wants us to have more happiness. Jesus wants us to have more faith. Jesus wants us to be in His arms and to trust Him so that we can experience what that more is. Verse 28, 29, and 30, they all complement each other and they go together. And it says, and why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they need spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory, the king, clothed himself like one of these flowers. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and it's gone, thrown into the furnace tomorrow, how much more will he clothe you, people of little faith? And wildflowers are more beautiful than even the riches of a king. Wildflowers are clothed better than King Solomon, better than the things that a king wore. And even so, these flowers only last a short time. And if God is going to care for these flowers that are here today and they're gone tomorrow, and he's going to clothe them and he's going to give them that beauty and he's going to give them that life, how much more will he clothe you with your life? A lifespan that right now the average of a woman is about 75 and the average of a man is about 72. How much more will he clothe you? How much more does he care? I just love how he teaches about these things again that we can understand. He puts it in a perspective that nobody could misunderstand what he's saying. You know, last week we pointed out that Jesus taught simply, but yet he taught with authority. He laid it down where we could understand it, but yet we knew where it was coming from and we knew that it was true. And the simple way here for him to teach us is to give us something to relate to. And here he gives us food and he gives us clothes. And Jesus reminds us that he is so much more. That he's more than all of that. Now, if anybody's ever planted a wildflower before, has anybody ever done that? You know, you can order off, and this company in the back of one of the magazines on Sunday will send you this little carpet that you lay down. And it like sprouts to life in about a day, and you water it, and then the next day it dies. And you think that it's you because you have a bad thumb. But it's just the flower. That's just all it does. It gives you a brief moment of that glory and of that beauty that you see. And then it dies and it fades away. But yet, we're here for that lifespan. We're here for a date that God has appointed with us later when we pass away. And between the time we're born and the time that we die, God has great plans for us. And His plans aren't for us just to be nothing. His plans aren't for us not to be close to Him. His plans aren't for us not to have anything and not to have any more. But His plans are to bless us abundantly. His plans are for us to have that feeling of comfort and of peace. For us to have that faith. Verse 31 says, "Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing?" And if we are believers, that kind of sums it all up for us. He's saying, don't worry about anything. And to teach us there, Jesus just uses the necessities in life. That's all he talks about. Just the basics. Just the basics. And I love sports. One of the things in sports that a good team does is the good team does the basics well. They concentrate on the basics, and those are the things that they put their attention on, and that's the things that they practice. And for us, God here is using just the basics, just the necessities of life. He said, remember, it's what you need, not what you want. I'm not saying that God won't bless us over and abundantly. I'm not going to say that God can't do great things in your life, because He can and He will. And we show Him that we can handle what He has for us, then I'm a firm believer that we're going to get more, we're going to have more. And that can mean different things in your life. You see, I believe God gives us a platform. I believe that He puts us on this little platform, and then He says, okay, let me see what you're going to do with it. Let me see. And then we use that platform that He's given us, and if we use it to honor and to glorify God and to grow in His Spirit, then I think God says, okay, I'm going to give you a little bigger one. Let's see what you're going to do with it. And as you handle the little bigger one, then I think God gives you another one that's a little bigger, and then another one that's a little bigger. And before long, your territory is increased, and what God expects from you is increased. And that's when we're growing in Christ and when we're maturing as Christians and we see things. And as we go through this spiritual gifts class in our Sunday school, you'll find out that little platform should be so much larger than where you have it. Be so much bigger than what you ever thought that it could be. What are you doing with your platform today? What are you doing with what God has entrusted you with? You see, there's nothing wrong with having a big house or having a nice car or having some money in the bank. There's a problem with it if it becomes what you're after. If that becomes your more, then there's a problem with it. If you use it to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, it can be a great thing. And I believe that that's what God wants us to do with our money. He wants us to use it for things that are going to glorify Him. He wants us to use our homes for things that are going to glorify Him. And He wants us to do things inside our homes that glorify Him. What are you doing with your platform? What are you doing with your money and your finances? What are you doing with your home? Is it your more? Or is Jesus your more? Verse 32 and 33. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first this. This is what's important, guys. More than the necessities, He says, seek this first. His kingdom. And His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. And those people that are not believers are the ones that are supposed to worry. Those people that don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're the ones that are supposed to have that anxiety. They're the ones that have nobody to rely on. They're the ones that have nobody to talk to. They're the ones that have nobody to fall back on. But we do. We have a Heavenly Father that loves us and cares about us and wants to comfort us at times that we need comfort. He wants to protect us at times that we need protection. He wants to heal us at times that we need healing. And He wants to grow us at times when we need growing. He cares about us. And the Bible says if God is for us, then who can be against us? So when things aren't going your way and the worry starts to creep in, pray. Let me say that again. When things aren't going your way and you start to worry, we need to pray. We need to pray and we need to seek God's face. I shared with you, I was talking with a lady one time in the hospital and we were just talking about life and about problems and about stuff. And you might have been in that sermon before, but it's probably been one of the most powerful things that someone's told me about their life where a light bulb kind of went off and I said, man, that's really how a lot of people feel. And she said, you know, a lot of people have told me in my Christian life and in my churches that I need to take all of my cares and my worries and my concerns and my problems and I need to put them at the foot of the cross. But nobody ever got through to me that I wasn't supposed to take them back with me. That I was supposed to leave them there because God could do all things with them. God could cover them and take them away from me. And so what I would do, Pastor Michael, is I would go to the cross with my concerns and I would go with my worries and I would go with my problems and I would lay them at the foot of the cross and I would pray. And then when I finished my praying, I'd pack all my stuff back in my bag. And then I would carry it back with me. And that's not what God's asking us to do. That's not what Jesus is asking us to do. He's asking us to lay it down at His feet and say, God, we know that You're sufficient. We know that You can do all things, cover all things, take care of all things, forgive all things, and do all things. And when we learn to do that, when we learn to leave that, then we're really praying and seeking God's face and His will in our lives. You know, when you're a little child, little things can scare you. I remember being a child, and my mom wore glasses, and I remember laying in bed and could swear I see my mom's glasses in the hallway. And I would say, Mom, and there would be no answer. And I'd say, Mom, and there'd be no answer. And next thing I know, I had the covers up and stuff, and why we think covers would bother us. One time we were at our house and there was a thunderstorm, and all of a sudden this huge loud clap of thunder, boom. I don't think I've ever heard anything like it before in my life. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning, so all you heard in my house was boom, and then you heard three sets of feet come running down the stairs, and they were all in the bed with us. And isn't that something for us to learn, that when we're a little child, we have enough sense that when things don't feel right and when we're scared, we do what? We go to our parents. We go to our father. We go to our mother. And when we do it and we get in their arms, doesn't everything just seem to feel better? Doesn't all of a sudden, it doesn't matter anymore and you're not scared, and all of a sudden that thunder's not so loud and that worry starts to go away? And all of a sudden, children that were woke up by that big clap of thunder now are just snoring and sleeping like they had never been awake before. And that's the way it is with God, but we make it so complicated. God just says, look, when things aren't going right, when you're scared, just come get into bed with me. That's it. Let me put my arms around you. Let me hug you. Let me do what your parents did for you. And now as an adult, I am your father. You've accepted me as your Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to put my arms around you. And I want to make everything seem okay. And if you'll do that with me, if you'll come get in my arms, then I'll assure you that I am more. And that God's message to us. God's message is if we'll just come get in His arms, He will assure us that He is what the more is. He is what we need. Verse 34 says, "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble all on its own." He's saying one day at a time is enough to think about, because each day is going to produce its own set of problems and issues and things. You know, I see most of y'all on Facebook. We're mostly Facebook friends. And I see you during the week, and I see some posts on there. And, you know, it's neat to see that people in our church that are on Facebook pick each other up. Somebody says, "Oh, it's just not a good day today." And someone else I see in our church respond back and say, "Well, you know, keep your head up and we'll be praying for you." It's neat to see when other people come and try to pick somebody up. And it's a beautiful thing. You know, they express that problem and then other people share a prayer. Or they express that problem and somebody else puts out an encouraging word. Or they express that problem and somebody says, "What can I do to help that make that go away?" In the weeks ahead from now, this can be your encouraging words to each person that you see has that problem. You can tell the other people to remember not to worry, that God is in control. To recognize that Jesus is more. To recognize that Jesus is more of what we should be longing for. More of who we should be. More of who we center ourselves around. Jesus Christ. So how do we experience the something more with what God has for us? We can find some clues in the verses here that we just read, if you're keeping notes today. The first clue is that we go through a process of examination of ourselves. And this passage should cause us to do some serious soul searching. The passage raises some very vital questions that we should be asking of ourselves. And the questions that I came up with is, what is the quality of my life anyway? And what am I doing to myself? And what does my life say about my faith? And what are my priorities? In essence, what is keeping me away from more? The first question, what is the quality of life? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing, the Bible says? Will clothes make you happy? No. Will money make you happy? No. Let me ask a question. Suppose I make $1 million by the time I'm 40 years old, and I'm already past that, but say you're 40 years old and you've made $1 million. But in the process, you destroy your health. Is it a good quality of life that you live with your $1 million? What if you build the house that you've always dreamed of, but you have no family to put in it? Nobody to enjoy it with. Is that a quality of life that we should want? Jesus said, "What does it profit if a man gains the whole world, but he loses his own soul?" The second question we should ask is, what am I doing to myself? Jesus said, "Which of you by worrying can add even one cubit, one measure to your life?" I'll give you this illustration that I found in a Chuck Swindoll book. It said there was a new clock that was ticking away on the shelf. 2 ticks to the second, as any good self-respecting clock should do. And when it began to think about how many times it was going to have to tick, 2 ticks to the second means 120 ticks per minute. It said, and that's 7,200 ticks per hour. That's 172,800 ticks per day. That's 1,209,600 per week for 52 weeks and a total of 62,899,200 clicks per year. Oh my goodness. And straight away the clock had a nervous breakdown. The clock was taken to a psychiatrist who patched up the mainspring inside. And then all of a sudden he said, "Clock, what's your trouble?" He said, "Oh, doc, I don't know what to do. I have to tick so much. I have to tick 2 ticks a second and 120 ticks a minute and 7,200 ticks per hour and hold it," the psychiatrist said. How many ticks do you have to tick at a time? Oh, I just have to tick one tick at a time, said the clock. Then let me make a suggestion, replied the doctor. You go home and try ticking one tick at a time. Don't even think about the next tick until it's time. Just tick one tick at a time, because that's all that you really can do. And so here, this is what God's telling us. Just take it one day at a time. Just 1 second at a time, 1 minute at a time, 1 day at a time. And let Him be in control of everything. The third question, what does my life say about my faith in God? And I heard about this pastor one time that they got cancer. And after learning about the bad news of his cancer, people came up and said, oh my goodness, pastor, what are you going to do? And oh my goodness, pastor, what's happening? And oh, I know that you're got to be feeling bad about all this. And the pastor responded back. He said, for all these years, I've preached about faith and about victory in Jesus. Now it's time for me to show that I believe what I preached. That statement said volumes about that man's faith. Now it's time when the rubber hits the road to show that what I say is what I believe. I say I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but do I? I say I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, but do I really? Fourth question we should ask, what are my priorities? Jesus said to seek first the kingdom of God. Bill McCartney was a retired head coach of the Colorado football team. I'm not a Colorado fan. I just know about the man. And his reason for retirement was not because he was unsuccessful as a coach. His teams had won the national championship. They'd been in the top 10 many times. But McCartney came and said, I'm going to retire because I want to reevaluate my priorities. He said, I'm leaving coaching. I'm going to take a whole year off to reevaluate who I am. I want to see if God is first. And then when that year was over, Bill McCartney had dedicated his life and his talents to Christ. And he threw his extra effort behind it and the money that he had made. And he founded the men's renewal gathering that we know as Promise Keepers today. And he was looking for the kingdom to be first. In order to discover something more, we should evaluate our own situations like he did and our own reliance on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do that, that gives us our first clue. The second clue in defining the something more of life is to be doing elimination. If you had a bad headache, you'd want to get rid of it. If you had a stomach ache, you'd want to get rid of it. If you have a thorn in your hand, you'd want to take the thorn out. If you had cancer, you'd want to get rid of it. And these questions all have the obvious answers. And even so, Jesus knew worry was excess baggage that he didn't want us to have. And he wanted us to eliminate it as well, just like a headache or a stomach ache. And each one of us has conflicts that swirl around in our hearts and in our heads. And there are conflicts we deal with like anger and worry and bitterness and fear and insecurity. And all these things just keep us from the more. Jesus wants to help us eliminate these things as we walk with Him. In our text, Paul discusses worry. Worry is a conflict with faith. Worry cannot be where faith is. They cannot coexist together. Worry is either going to conquer your faith or faith is going to conquer your worry. And we have to be the ones to eliminate the conflict. Second part, this brings us to the real issue in this whole decision. The root of all human struggles is one of unbelief. Worry results from failing to trust the Lord with our problems. Fear results from failing to depend on God completely. And anger results from taking things into our own hands. This is where humility enters the picture of what we're talking about. Humility is something that we must have to experience more. And to be humble, we must need to admit that we have needs. Humility requires that we confess our shortcomings and our failures, and we admit that God is the one that we need to be in our control. Humility requires that we give our struggles to God. We give our problems to Him. And then we have faith. Faith is more than just eliminating the bad things. Faith is eliminating the negative things in our lives. And then we have another step. Faith eliminates the negative, but we need to replace the negative with our faith. Let me say that again. If in your life you just get rid of the negative and do nothing else, you'll have an empty void. You have to replace that with your faith. Have you ever heard someone, maybe yourself, say, I need to stop drinking. Or, I need to stop smoking. Or, I can sure lose some weight. I can relate to the last one. And some people think it's just a matter of eliminating a bad habit. But faith is a matter of asking God to eliminate the bad habit and then asking God to fill that void with His richness and His fullness. I went to my dentist a few years back and I got the bad news. He said, well, you need a crown on your tooth. And then he drilled away all the decay and the damage that was in the old tooth and he replaced it with a new crown. He replaced it with something that was new. He took the spot of stuff that he took out and he put something back in. And that's the way faith is. It involves getting rid of that old, that broken down, that worry, and replacing it with something better. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy, but I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. And when we get rid of those things in our life, we have to replace it back with the love of Jesus Christ. And arriving at the something more level of our life, it requires that evaluation, and then that elimination, and then finally, affirmation. We must affirm that our relationship is really with our Heavenly Father. And the best way to deal with worry is to affirm that our Heavenly Father is the person that we revolve around. And what do we affirm about Him? We affirm that His person, Jesus referred to God as our Father. And in this passage, on numerous other occasions, Jesus is referred to as our Father. Just like in the Lord's Prayer, it's our Father. Jesus said we're to pray to God as if we're a hungry child asking for bread. And Jesus faced the cross and He prayed in the garden. He prayed to God using the term Abba Father, which is an intimate term saying Daddy. We're supposed to pray to God that way. To say, Daddy, we need You. When we realize that there's something more in life that we need, we'll realize that there's nothing more than God. He's the man upstairs. He's the God of hellfire and brimstone. But He's also the God of love. He's the God of mercy. He's the God of forgiveness. And I want you and me to always be able to address Him as our Father because He loves us and He wants us to love Him in return. And as long as we limit God to some impersonal force or see Him as some opponent to our lives, we'll never experience the joy that He has to offer. David, who was referred to in the Bible as a man after God's own heart, referred to the Lord as my shepherd. And this is why David could face all these problems and his enemies. And he even says that he faces enemies in the valley of the shadow of death. And I'm unafraid. He affirmed the personal loving God who wanted to make him lie down in those green pastures. He knew that God was his more. I heard a story about a native Indian tribe, and they had this little practice for these young braves as they would go into adulthood. And the practice was is on the night of the boy's 13th birthday, they would take him out into the forest, and they would sit him down on a log, and they would blindfold him, and they would leave him there for the night. You can imagine being out in the woods and being 13 years old with a blindfold on. And they would hear all kind of noises that sound like something was going to come and get them, and they'd hear animals and howling. And you'd be nervous. And your test was to not take off the blindfold and to keep it on all night. And those young fellows would make it through the night. And in the morning, they were allowed to take off their blindfold. And the neat thing about it was when those young fellows would take off their blindfold, the first thing that they would see is their father standing beside them. Because that's where the father had been all night long. Standing right there beside him, watching over that child who could not see. And that's the way God is with us. That's the way God comes. He comes to us as people who cannot see. And yet He stands right there beside us, saying, call on Me. Trust in Me. And accept Me. And then we affirm His person, but we also affirm His provision for us. For your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. And in our prayers, we need to affirm what God has done for us. We need to affirm what God can do. We need to affirm what God does. And that type of praying always brings results. We serve a God that loves us. And He loves us enough that He sent His Son to die in our place. And the good news is, is that he can change our lives. When worry, our emotions, our fear threaten to destroy us, take refuge in God's love and ask him to help us. Because God has that something more for you. God knows what you need. We started this morning with a man named Nick who has no legs and he has no arms. But he has more. More than most people who have those limbs. We started this morning saying that things that I would like to have more in my life, more peace that I would like to have, and more faith that I would like to have, to be a better father, and to be a better husband, and to be a better pastor, and to be a better Christian. And the beauty is, if I want that more, I know how to get it. Because the answers are all right here. And we go to the Lord in prayer, and to truly experience that more that God wants us to have, we just put him at the center of our life. We don't put him off to the side somewhere. We don't put him down the hall or around the corner. We just put him right there in the center. We make our decisions based on the things that he would want for our lives. And we pray to him when we need him. I asked if you wanted more when you came here today, and you said you did. And my hope and my prayer for you is that you find the more, not that you're looking for, but that God has planned for you. And that more is sufficient. Maybe you've never accepted Christ. You've never put him at the center. You've never said, you know, God, I can't do this on my own. And God, you know, I do have you off in a distant. And you know, one day, God, I'm going to need you and I'm going to call on you. And at that time, I'm going to accept you. But for now, I'm okay on my own. And maybe that's what you're saying. You've never asked Jesus to be the center of your life. You never said, Jesus, I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, I want you to come inside of me and direct my every thought and my every word. If you've never done that before and you'd like to make that decision this morning, we're going to play some music and we would love to have you and come make that decision. Or if you need to rededicate yourself to the Lord and maybe you've just fallen away some, we'd love to have you. Or maybe you're looking for the church home that God has for you. And I will tell you, when you join a church and you become part of a church fellowship, it's so much easier to find that more. It's so much easier to be involved with other Christian people to further God's kingdom and feel that more. And we have so many places that you can plug in and places that you can experience what more is. We have different ministries that we do here that are coming up for the fall and over the Christmas season that you'll be able to plug and feel what that's like. And if you're looking for a church that wants you to feel more and you feel like this is the place, we would love to have you join us as well. So any decision that you have this morning for salvation, to rededicate or to join, we invite you to come. If not, we ask you to pray for that person that's sitting next to you.